Hello and welcome to Book Echoes. I'm author Connie B. Dowell. Today on the podcast, I have an interview with the first illustrator I've ever had on the podcast, illustrator Elizabeth Savanella. And while we've heard from a lot of authors who have worked with illustrators on the podcast, this is the first time we get to hear the other side of the equation. So if you've wondered what it's like for an illustrator to work with an author or publisher, now is your chance to find out. We have a lovely chat about working with authors and publishers, about becoming an illustrator, and so much more. So have a listen. In my own writing, I have been doing a lot of work on writing without childcare, as well as a cozy mystery short story, which the whole thing has finally kind of gelled in my mind, and I think it's pretty fun. And that's good because it is due at the end of this week, so I had better get it polished and out the door. But it looks like I'm going to be on time and pretty happy with the end result on that. I've also been processing a lot of what I talked about last week, the information I learned from my reader survey, and planning ahead for the coming fall. And I've been doing a lot of work searching categories and doing my research on a tool called Publisher Rocket. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's a tool especially used by self-publishers to do a number of different things, to find good keywords for Amazon advertising, to find good keywords for listing your book on Amazon. Another thing that it does is it helps you analyze your competition, or analyze specific niches and categories that your book could fall into. So it helps me see what the top earners are earning on average per day, using their estimates, and what I could expect if I were to, manage to get myself to the top of a particular category. And this comes into play as I'm thinking of kind of switching my categories around. And I'm not the only person to do this. Noticing that I had not just a large adult following for my YA books, but a lot large adult following who don't normally read YA, I'm thinking of doing some category switches and trying to at least at first straddle both a YA category and adult fiction category, because the market for historical mysteries for adults is so much more vigorous than the market for historical mysteries for teens. And it's also very hard to get to that top category and get to those larger subcategories on Amazon if you're in such a tiny niche, then even if you claw your way to the top of that niche, it can be hard to break out of that, to get enough sales, to get enough visibility in a larger subcategory. So it's kind of a little catch, a little booby trap sort of in the usual strategy that people use when choosing their categories. And that's to find a subcategory that's going to be your niche. Get one that's small and a little easier to dominate. But here's the thing to learn. Yes, you can start small, dominate a small niche, and that gives you visibility on the bigger niches. Once you reach the higher category, a higher sales rank in one category, then that in itself is going to increase your visibility, increase your sales, and boost you to rank higher in larger categories, and thus go on from there. Well, you don't want to also go too small. If the niche you have picked is too small, is too low earning, then you're never going to kind of break out of that.
So while I want to categorize my books effectively and still reach those people who are looking for teen historicals and teen mysteries, I think having a category where it's actually possible to get greater visibility will help me get the sales needed to break out of some of those smaller subcategories and get visibility in larger subcategories for teens. And if it doesn't do that, if it turns out that, this is kind of a way of testing my theory, like, are these books really, really going to ever hit for the YA market? If it doesn't, then it seems like historical mystery adult readers like my books, and maybe it will take off there. And I should just, thank my lucky stars that I get paid if this turns out good. So I feel like it's a win-win situation. The worst that's going to happen is that I take out some ads and it doesn't really work out. So there's not too much to lose to try something new. So that's what I'm going to do. Anyway, moving on to illustration, to the visual art side of things, let's have a listen to Elizabeth and her lovely interview coming up next. Oh, but before I go, one quick reminder. Next week, we are off. I am taking the week of Labor Day off, and we will be right back to the podcast the following week. So three podcasts again in September, but that first week off. And here's the interview with Elizabeth.
All right, welcome to the Book Echoes podcast. Today on the podcast, I have an amazing illustrator, Elizabeth. Would you like to say hi and introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited to be here. This is my first interview, actually, ever, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm a children's book illustrator, mostly picture books for very young, like 5 to 7 age range. I work mainly for other authors, so I don't, I am now working on a book myself, but I generally illustrate other people's manuscripts.
Okay, am I pronouncing your name right? Elizabeth Savinella?
Yes, that's okay. Correct.
So yeah, so if people want to Google you, they can then find you that way. It's really interesting. You are the first illustrator that I've had on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You bring in some unique experience.
Good.
So, let's kind of go a little bit out of order from my usual questions. How did you get started illustrating?
Oh, okay. I started at college, really, because I went to school for illustration. In high school, thought that I wanted to be an animator, actually. I wanted to do something with animation, and was thinking, like, Disney would be great to work at. And then when the time came to actually apply, I applied to a few animation programs, and then I applied to an illustration program. And I've always liked illustration. That's more of what I had done. I've never done animation. And even in high school, a lot of the assignments that I was doing were illustrate this story or things like that. And I always really liked that, but for some reason I was translating it to animation. So when I found out that there was an actual program for specifically illustration, I was like, okay, I'll apply to that too. And I got into that program, and that was at FIT in New York City. And I loved it. And I kind of, during school, decided what I was going to focus on, which was like a younger style. It's just something that always appealed to me a little bit more. I had friends that were doing comic book style or like all different stuff. I had people that were doing more fine art sort of, but what I always liked was a younger style of illustration. So I really started at school kind of aiming towards that sort of thing. And then when I got out of school, I went to get a job, and there aren't that many illustration jobs. It's a pretty hard field to get into, which I don't know if I was quite prepared. I don't think anyone who went to school was quite prepared. I also graduated just before the economy crashed, so it was kind of bad timing. So I sort of got out and I said, we have a lot of different skills that we learn as an illustration program. We learn a lot of like the computer programs, things that graphic design would get also. So I came out with all of those skills, and I was like, well, I need a full-time job and something to pay my bills. So I looked at different types of jobs that had that as a requirement, and I started working in graphic design as a full-time thing, and then on the side kept doing my freelance work for books and different types of illustration. And I realized that actually worked out pretty well for me, because it gave me the stability to take the jobs that I wanted to take and like focus a little bit more on what I really wanted to do. So yeah, that's how I got started. And I don't know, a couple of, maybe 5 years ago, I started with an illustration agency who got me some bigger jobs, and like that actually allowed me to be a little more selective even with that kind of thing. And I don't know, I've been doing it ever since. I plan on doing it for forever. I mean, I've been very happy with all of the book companies that I've worked with, and all the authors I've worked with are really great. It's a nice industry to be in.
Yeah. And it looks like you have a pretty wide range of illustration styles and age groups from looking on your website.
Yeah. So recently I started trying to do more chapter books, like chapter art, and something for a little bit older age grade. So I'm still working on a portfolio to get together to do that kind of thing, just because it works around my full-time job to do that type of work, because it's a little bit longer deadlines and less, instead of doing like a full 24 page full color illustrated book or more, I've done like up to 40 pages, but working that around a full-time job is a little tough sometimes. You just have to sort of prioritize. And so if I can do something that's a little bit more like a longer deadline and less full color illustrations throughout, I'm going to see if I can do that. But so so that's newer stuff, but I also do books, and I also do children's picture books, like I was talking about. That's mainly what I've been doing, and licensed art too. So I just finished a sticker job that's like, you know, they'll license the stickers, they buy the art to use for that one purpose. So it's a variety of different art, because it's done for a variety of different types of products, I guess.
Yeah, cool. That's a really interesting area of lots of different things. If you feel comfortable, would you like mind? I think most of my listeners are authors, and it's interesting to see the other side of this equation. What it's like working with an author from your perspective?
It has its challenges, because the author, I also work with a lot of publishers directly. So they're sort of a liaison a lot of times, but I've also worked with authors themselves. And working with an author themselves is a bigger challenge a lot of times, because they have their own vision for what they want. And it's sort of a juggle to keep that in mind, as well as like what artistically has to be done, because as an illustrator, you're also telling the story through your art. And so the authors, you know, of course have a vision when they write it, and you want to incorporate that too. With a publisher, when I'm working with the publishers, generally they'll give me a layout pretty much that tells what they want on every page. So when I work with an author directly, I usually will ask them to write out what they're thinking of having on every page. It just helps with the art direction of it, just to make sure that I'm taking care of all of the things that they had in mind. And then going through and just like hitting all of the notes. Generally, if I'm working with a publisher, I'll send sketches. After I look through everything, I make sure that I'm doing what they ask, and then I send them the rough sketches, get that approved, and most of the notes are made in that phase. So sometimes there's a second round of sketch revisions that I send back to them. And usually at that point, it's like they know what they're looking for. Like they're pretty clear on what the final is going to look like. And then I go to the final. And I like to do it in a chunk, sort of. Like, so I do all the sketches at once, send the sketch phase, and then I go to the finish and send the finish. And if there are any little tweaks at the end, I'll do them at that point. Like, from my perspective, it's harder to work. I've worked with people that where it's like I'll sketch the first page and send it back, and or they want it sent back, and then, you know, they're making changes on the first one while I'm working on the second one, and that's a harder way to do it for an illustrator. So if you're an author working with an illustrator, maybe, like, I guess a good tip is, like, leave it with them for a little bit, let them do all the sketches at once, and it also, I think, gives you a more cohesive picture of the overall thing instead of working in a piecemeal, because they can see everything as a whole as they're working. So that's my only advice to authors if you're working with an illustrator.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good to hear. So you mentioned illustration kind of has always drawn you in. What drew you to making media for children?
Well, I guess as a child, I was always drawn to the pictures and everything. I liked to be read to a lot. I liked reading myself, but I really enjoyed when someone would just read to me, when I could just like stare at the pictures in the book and sort of tune out and just imagine what was going on. And it kind of engaged me, I guess, in a way that I remembered growing up. And also like movies and, like I said, I originally wanted to do something with animation. So there's just something imaginative about the books and just like it kind of draws your eye in a way that if you're just, I mean, reading can do that as well. But for me, it was just visual, I guess, more. I think visually. So I guess it's just the way that I engaged with things.
Yeah, cool. Is that something you try to think about consciously as you're illustrating and make that kind of part of your books, is drawing in maybe reluctant readers? Or
yeah, I think it can really help. I do a lot of work that's kind of textural, and I kind of do that because there's just a visual interest that sort of like you. Like, at least I do, when I look at something that's got a lot of texture in it, it's like you're looking at the overall image and what's happening in the image, but you're also looking at like all the little details and like little imperfections, and it kind of, for me at least, I can't take my eye away from a little imperfection in an illustration, so I like that. And it's like if you're looking at the picture, you're really engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on, let's talk a little bit about challenges. So for someone who for listeners who maybe want to become an illustrator or who are kind of starting in that career, what's some challenges you experienced early on, and how did you overcome them?
I guess one thing that was really hard starting in illustration was getting a consistent portfolio together, because if you're going to get the jobs that you want, you really have to show that you can do the same quality of work over and over again. Mm-hmm. And basically give an author or a publisher an idea of what to expect from you. And when I started out, and I think a lot of artists struggle with this, it's like you're doing work so that you can get paid. And, you know, that's what everyone strives for, making money off of this. So you're taking, you know, whatever jobs you can get. But I would say that's not necessarily the best idea. Even if you have to wait, do work for yourself rather than people that are paying you to do work in the way that they want you to do it, which is easier said than done, I guess, when you're waiting for a paycheck. But but overall, in the long run, it's going to help you, because I worked for years doing what other people wanted from me, and, you know, I made money off of it, but it never will help you get to the next step and get to the point where you're doing books with your name on them. You know, it's like you'll be self-sufficient, but you'll never, you won't get more work like the style that you want. And ultimately you're doing this to be happy. And if you're not doing the work that you want, you're not really doing what's making you happy. I think the other thing I would say is there's no shame in getting a job that's not illustration to support you while you do the work that's going to build up your portfolio to get the illustration work that you want. I worked in the fashion industry when I first got out of school because it, you know, it used the skills that I had. Did I like it? No, I didn't. it was definitely not what I wanted to be doing, but it also, gave me the freedom to figure out what I really wanted to do in my illustration work. And you know, not only illustration, but I think that is probably good advice for anybody that wants to do something that's their passion.
Yeah, sometimes you just kind of, like you mentioned earlier, that having a day job gives you a stability to focus on your art in the directions you want it to go.
Right. Yeah, even now I have a day job, which I, you know, I've been able to luckily do work that I really like for my day job now. Yeah, and it's sort of more related to my illustration work. So, you know, you'll find something that will make you happy. And now I kind of prefer having a regular schedule and then doing my freelance. I work all night when I get a book, but but I like that it forces me to have a schedule.
Yeah. Before I let you go, do you have any parting advice, any title names you can drop or places people can find you and your books online?
Well, my website is esprints.com. My initials, esprints. And on there it has links to where you can buy all of the books that I've done so far. And I'm currently working on I wrote a book of my own, and I'm going to start sending that around to publishers, hopefully within the next 6 months.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's something new for me. I've written things, but not that would be in a professional realm, I guess. So it's going to be nice to see something that I wrote go along with my work. So, and that's a whole new set of challenges, is finding a publisher and doing the whole query process, which I'm sure you probably know.
Yeah.
I'm just finishing up the last color images for my book dummy to send to them. That's another thing, is like, I found out that that sending queries as an author illustrator is a bit different than sending them if you're just doing the author part of it. I had everything like written and ready, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna start sending this out, and then I was like, oh wait, there's a separate process for author illustrators. So I'm making a book dummy, which is just sketches basically of all the pages, and then color illustrations of just a few of them in the cover. So I'm on the last part of that, and I'll be sending that out, and hopefully you'll hear more from me at that point. So I hope that all works out. But it'll be an adventure. I'm planning on going to some more conferences maybe, and talking to some art directors, and just see what happens with it. But for now, everything that I have, and if that comes to fruition, which I hope it does, it will be on my website as well. All the links are on my website. I'm on Instagram. I have a Facebook page. I'm not on Twitter yet, which I hear is the best way to go for finding anyone to publish. I guess a lot of publishers use Twitter.
Yeah, they chat a lot on Twitter.
That's what I hear. So maybe that's my next step. I don't know. So there's always something new to learn, I guess.
Yeah, probably something new to learn. But thanks for sharing. Man, that was a good little tidbit at the end about creating a dummy, which I think a lot of aspiring author illustrators, especially if they're kind of new to the illustration part, may not have realized that was part of the process.
Yeah, who knew? There's so much to learn throughout the whole process. And I feel like I've, just about figured out the doing the illustration for other people kind of thing. And it's a whole new ball game doing it for myself. So, and then I've learned, I guess, about doing the like author part of it too, along the way. That's new. And that's a challenge. I'm not a writer, so what I'm doing is mostly visual, and I'm trying to tell the story in a really visual way, which is like approaching it from a different angle, I guess.
Yeah, you say you're not a writer, but you have a manuscript that you made a dummy for that you're going to query. So yeah, you sound like a writer to me.
Yes, I guess I have to start somewhere. And I really enjoy it, so.
That's great. Great. Well, thanks again for coming on the show and sharing a perspective that we don't often get to see when we get really holed up in writer world.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been so nice talking to you, and I'm glad I found you.
Yeah, thanks again.
Thanks so much for listening to the Book Echoes podcast. You can find the podcast at bookechoes.com, on Apple Podcasts, or on Stitcher. And I would really appreciate it if you enjoyed the podcast to leave a review at one of those places or leave a comment on the show notes at bookechoes.com.